I'd like to invite Ian Ray. Last night we had another Ian coming forward, but tonight it's Ian Ray. So let's all kneel together as we ask the Lord's presence with us.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for everything you do for us, Lord. Thank you so much for Whitey Camp and everything that the staff and the counselors do here. Thank you for the spiritual blessing that we are able to receive, Lord. Lord, this is just the first day, and we ask that you'll continue to pour out the blessings and help us to see you in everything that we do here and reflect you, Lord. We want to do that. Thank you so much for everything you do, like I said. In your precious name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ian. All right, is everyone ready for another wonderful blessing tonight? Yes, sir. And if you're not, then you have a few moments in which to prepare by sharpening your mind. And how are you going to do that? Hold it up high. Bible memory bookmark. Let's see them. Hold them high. Everybody's Bible memory bookmark.
Good evening, young disciples. I'm wondering if anybody here today broke forth into singing. Did you come on forward? If you not when we're here at worship time, but just some other time during the day, if you just broke forth into singing, please come on down. Oh, that's wonderful. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about choir. I'm not talking about song service. Just some other time when you broke forth into singing. Okay, you can, after campfire, you can tell each other what you were singing when you broke forth into singing. But right now, what I'd like you to do, our spontaneous choir, I would like you to recite for us Isaiah 55, verse 12, without your cards, please. For ye shall go out with joy.
The trees of the field shall clap their hands.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Can you give them a big amen?
Amen.
Now, I'd like to see the hands of those of you who have a garden at home. Okay, how many of you have pulled weeds in that garden? All right, how many of you have pulled thorns out of your garden? Please come forward if you have pulled thorns out of your garden. Wow, I need to keep some of you at my house. Okay, the thorn eradicators. Again, without your cards, please put them behind your back or some other place where they won't be visible. Please recite for us Isaiah 55, verse 13. Instead, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When Ted asked us tonight which was my favorite verse, I thought about this chapter. It's just a beautiful chapter. And tonight we're going to look at verses 10 and 11. So let's read those together now, starting with verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. What does void mean? Empty. So no good, nothing to it. There's going to be something that God's word is going to accomplish. Is that true? Yes. Is that true? Thank you. What we're going to do, oh yes, this is very conveniently divided right there. So we're going to have the ladies start by, you can read it, reading verse 10 until you get to a punctuation mark. Then we'll go to the gentlemen until they get to a punctuation mark. Then we'll go back to the ladies. We'll go through verses 10 and 11 that way. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, ladies. For as the rain cometh down,
and the snow from heaven,
and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud,
that it may give seed to the sower,
and bread to the eater,
so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth.
It shall not return unto me void,
but it shall accomplish that which I please,
and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Amen. Okay, good. Turn your cards over. I'm going to have you fill in some blanks. For as the
rain
cometh
down,
and the
snow
from
heaven,
and
not
but
the
earth, and maketh it bring
forth
and
bud,
that it may give
seed
to the
sower,
and
bread
to the so shall my be that goeth forth out of my
mouth.
It shall not unto me
void,
but it shall that which I and it shall in the whereto I. Very good. Okay, we'll go slower now and see how much of it you can get just using those initial letters. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Beautiful. We're going to go through this one more time, this time all the way from verse 10 all the way to verse 13. If you can say it without your card, do it. Don't take any more help than you absolutely need. Verses 10 through 13. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That's pretty powerful. Tomorrow night we will be inviting some miscellaneous and random, perhaps, groups to come on up and recite one of these verses that we've shared tonight. I was real happy to hear young people practicing these verses. And by the end of this week, you will have this whole chapter in your mind. It will be something that can help you in many situations. God bless you.
I'm going to share two facts with you. I hope they're facts anyway. About our speaker tonight. Mark Roberts has a family. Fact number one. He is married to Shelley, who's not here with us, unfortunately. And they have three children. Do any of you know the names of any of those children? Yes. Ha ha. Okay. What are the other ones? Yes. Very good. Seth happens to be here. We're so happy. And unfortunately, the others are not. Fact number two. Mark's wife, Shelley, taught me English when she was a student teacher and I was in high school. So I've been connected to them for quite a long, well, it doesn't seem like that long to me, but a few years now anyway. To you guys, it probably seems like ancient history. But anyway, I'm going to share a couple other interesting facts tomorrow night about Mr. Roberts. So if you happen to have any interesting facts that I should share with everybody, please come and share them with me, and we can get to know our speaker just a little bit better. So anyway, we're so privileged to have you here with us because we know that the Lord has placed something special on your heart to share with us tonight. Are you looking forward to a blessing tonight, campers?
Yes, sir.
Let's let the Lord speak to us through our speaker.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Ted. Good evening, everyone. Did you have a good day?
Yes, sir.
I was able to see some of you get around and get a few interesting things accomplished over there in the obstacle course, so that was quite amusing. But it's a very full program, isn't it, here? And sometimes when you come to the end of a busy day like this, it can be easy to think, oh, we'll go to evening worship at the campfire and we'll just fall asleep. But that's not a good idea. This is the time to stop and think about everything that you've done today. You've been in deep Bible study with Mr. Pruitt. You've been in all your classes learning about how to reach out to people, how to use what you're learning, how to gain new skills to be more effective in the world. And now you come tonight and you've been memorizing scripture so that you're bound against temptation. And now it's time to stop and consider for a moment just who you are. Who are you with all the things that you have learnt? Who are you with all the things that you are gaining? And who are you when you leave this place? Last night, we talked about how the Christian life is like a sprint, isn't it? It's all over in just a few seconds. It's not? What is the Christian life like, according to the Apostle Paul? Like a marathon. It's a race we run with what? Patience. What's another word for patience?
Perseverance.
Okay. So we recognize that the Christian life is not a sprint. It is a race that we run long-term with patience. So today we need to learn how to pace ourselves. And in all the things that you're learning here at this camp, you are learning how to strengthen yourself for endurance. A lot of people become Christians, and I work in evangelism and have done so for over 15 years, probably longer than many of you have been alive. But we find often people come in all excited about becoming a Christian. They hear the message, they make a decision, and they get all excited, they jump on the bandwagon, and here they are, they're going to follow Jesus. But then a week or so later, they hit the wall. Maybe it might be a month, maybe it's 2 months, and then they hit a wall, something goes wrong, their life seems to fall apart, and they say, oh, I just can't do it. And they walk away. They walk away from Jesus because they think it's too much. But often we tell our new folk, and I'm telling you tonight, everyone hits the wall sometime. It doesn't matter where you came in or what it was that brought you to Jesus, sometime the devil's going to cause you to hit a wall and make you wonder and question where you're going, what you're doing, and what's going to happen, and where is God in the midst of it. But you know what we always tell them when they hit that wall? Well, first thing we tell them is, we were waiting for this. And they look at us with these bug eyes, and like, what? What do you mean you were waiting for this? We said, everybody hits a wall sometime. We knew you had to hit yours sometime soon. But now that you've hit it, God is drawing close to you. Everybody goes through an experience in their life that helps them to know that God is real, that God is there for them. So when you find the challenges and the trials come, when things seem to go wrong, don't stop and say, God, why aren't you doing this for me? Say, God, okay, where are you? What do you want me to do? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, let's go there if you've got your Bibles tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Put this one away. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'd like us to start in verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Not knowing whither he went. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever moved house? How many people here have moved house? Okay, now how many people here have moved across from one state to another? Okay. How many people here have moved from one side of the country to another? How many people have moved from one country to another? Okay, there's a few of you. Seth, you can put your hand up. You've moved to the US and back. Okay. International moves, how hard are they? Maybe for you kids, you don't remember how much packing and trouble it takes. But I know for us adults, when we move internationally, it's hard. Now, my wife and I have been married nearly 16 years, and we have lived in 16 houses. Three of those in different parts of the United States. So we've had to move our family when Seth was three. No, actually, when he was two, we moved to America. And then when he was four, we moved back to Australia. So we've moved a lot. And when we were young, when we first got married, we thought moving was great fun. Let's get another house. Let's move somewhere else. You know, a change is as good as a holiday. But as we get older and we accumulate more junk, moving becomes harder. And now my wife says, stay in this job, stay here for 5 years minimum. I don't want to pack the house again. So you've got to do what you're told, you know? That's the way it is. But, you know, when we move, it's sometimes a difficult thing. But here we have in the Bible that Abraham, he didn't pick where he was going. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to get out of this place amongst all these people that are not following me. I want you to go to a place that you've never heard of, that you've never seen. And I'm going to take you there and I'm going to give you a land and you will become the father of a great nation. Now, I don't know about you, but every time my wife and I have moved house, we've gone and searched first. And I think if you ask the Everts when they came here, they didn't just wander around the Northwest and suddenly say, look, let's just plant here. They would have gone and searched for the right property to be able to have the ministry that you are now participating in. And they would have prayed for guidance and God would have led them. And that's what we all need to do. But sometimes God asks us to do things like Abraham. He asks us to do things that we don't really know where we're going or what's going to happen next. We don't really know what's going to be just around the corner. And like Abraham, we have to make the choice. Are we going to follow what God says, or are we going to just sit back and stay in our comfort zone? So often, we just like to stay where we are because that's comfortable. But you know, friends, if we're too comfortable in the world, in the things here, in this life, then we're too comfortable to take a stand for Jesus and get ready for heaven. So often the things of this life keep us. You imagine what the world would be like if Abraham had said to God, "Hang on, God, I've got a nice house here in Ur. I don't want to go and live in a tent for the rest of my life. I don't want to travel with my family and my flocks. My father is old." How different would the world be today? Very different. But the Bible says that by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. Now, most of us will never be called to go to inherit a land that we've never seen before. So how do we make this practical for helping us in our daily life? Well, I'm going to tell you a story. I have time. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story of an experience I had back in the days when I was in college. Now, I was 19 years old when I flew for the first time from Sydney to Washington, D.C. and went to college over here in the United States. And it was a long way. No one in my family had ever been overseas before. So it was very exciting. But I went home after 1 year. My family brought me home to visit for the summer. And then I was flying back. And I had my luggage. And I was a terrible packer back then. I'm still a terrible packer today. But I had lots of luggage. And I flew into Los Angeles. And back then, we'd flown into Los Angeles, and I had to have a layover overnight. You all know what a layover is. They put me up in a hotel, and I had to catch an early flight out in the morning. So they put me up in this hotel, and I can remember his name. It was called the Viscount Hotel, right near the airport there somewhere. But I'm in this hotel, and before I went to the shuttle bus, I went up, I got out of my gate, got my luggage, and went and put it all into a locker. Okay, at the Los Angeles airport. Then I went down through the security and out with my one overnight bag, because I'm thinking, I thought I was really smart, see? I had an overnight trip, so I thought I'd plan to have a little bag. I would just leave all my stuff in a locker. I'd go out on the buses and everything out to the hotel, come back, and I wouldn't have so much to carry and get around and all the rest. I'd be able to run back in, get my luggage, and go and log in for my flight in the next morning. So I went out and all was going well. I went to the hotel, had a nice sleep, got up in the morning, waiting for the shuttle bus. The shuttle bus came on time, and I'm thinking, okay, good, I've only got half an hour to get back before I need to get onto this flight. I had it all planned out in my mind, thinking I had plenty of time. So I get on the shuttle bus, and I'm waiting to go. And the bus driver decides to have a cigarette. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I know I have a little bit of time, so I'm not going to fret. I know I'm not going to fret. So I'm sitting there and he's smoking, and then he gets on the bus and thinking, okay, I'm looking at my clock thinking, okay, I've still got time, still got enough time. And then he pulls out of the hotel, and instead of turning towards the airport, he turns in the other direction. And I'm sitting there thinking, what's going on? So I sitting up the front, I lean over and I say, excuse me, sir, where are we going? He said, oh, I've got another group to pick up just up the road at another hotel. So now I'm starting to get just a little bit, you know, just an inkling of nervousness. Here I am, still only 20 years old, wondering, just will I make my flight? You know, what am I going to do if I miss my flight? I'd never traveled much, and I really had no idea what was going to happen. Would I get stuck in LA? I had no money. I mean, what was I going to do? So I just sat there and I kept praying, Lord, okay, I'm on my way to continue my education. I know you called me to go to college. I know I'm doing what you want me to do. And I'm just trying not to fret, you know, trying not to worry. So we go up to this other section, and then it's not just a couple of people. It was like about 14 people. And so they're all from all over the Europe, and they're putting their stuff in the back, and they're chatting, and they're having a good old time, and they're all piling. And it took about 15 minutes to put them all in. And by now, I'm recognizing that I only have about another 20 minutes to get to the airport, get my luggage, get back down to the gate, get my boarding pass, and then get back up and go and catch my plane. And I'm starting to really fret. So I'm sitting in the back of the bus, and I'm just sitting there, and everyone else is chatting and talking, and I'm just watching out the window, watching my clock and thinking, Lord, I'm going to miss this flight. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I don't know how to solve it. I said, Lord, I'm just stuck. And I started to pray because I'm thinking, Lord, you know, I don't know if you can hold the plane or something, but Lord, I'm just not going to get there in time. So we're driving along, and the fellow next to me, he was German. And he starts to chat to me, and he's like, oh, hello, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Australia, and we're chatting away nicely. And then he says, what are you doing? And I said, I'm on my way to Washington, D.C. He said, what time's your flight? And I told him, he said, oh, that's a bit tight. And he came to find out he was a travel agent, so he knew all about travel. And he said, okay, he said, Mark, he said, when we stop, when we get to your airline, he said, I'll tell the others to wait. He goes, and you get out first. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. You know, I was just so thankful. And so then I'm sitting there thinking, okay, so we're coming up close. And I suddenly remembered, oh, I've got like 3 bags. I need to get a trolley, one of those carts that they use at the airport. So I'm starting to pray, Lord, please help me to be able to find a cart and be able to get upstairs and get my luggage. So we get to the front of the airline. They open the door. I race in the door. And there, right next to the lift, what do you think there was? A trolley, just sitting there, just by itself, waiting for me. So I grabbed it, ran into the elevator, upstairs, up to the lockers, through the security, got my stuff, back down. And as I'm coming back down in the lift, I'm saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And I come back out with my trolley full of luggage, knowing I've got about 5 minutes to get through the line and then get up to my gate before they close my flight. And thinking, wow, Lord, this was close, and just starting to feel really good about the whole thing. And I come around the front, and what do you think I see in the where all the people check in? Lines. The place was packed. Just lines, like a sea of people. And I came around, and I suddenly looked at it. I'm thinking, good grief, which line do I take? And I'm walking along, just feeling so discouraged and thinking, Lord, I'm never going to get it. It's never going to work. And all of a sudden, I heard my name. Someone was calling my name. Mark! Mark! Over here! Over here, Mark! And I'm looking. Who in this big airport would ever know me? I didn't know anyone in the United States. And all of a sudden, I saw the German travel agent. And he called out to me. He said, Mark, come over here. And then he turned around to one of the security guards and he said, this is him. And so they opened a pathway through all the people and ran me straight through to the checkout. They ran my luggage straight through and they gave me my boarding pass and they said, run to your gate. They're waiting for you. And I just had only a few moments to say thank you to this man, and I bolted back up the stairs to my gate and sat on my plane. And you know, friends, and the Lord's done this to me a few times with things with planes. And it's always, I believe, when I looked back, it made me think of so many times the Lord asks us to do things that we don't know about, things that we're not sure about, things that we think, Lord, how is this going to work? How can I accomplish it? And I used to look at Abraham and think, well, that's all nice for Abraham, you know. He walked with God and God took him to all these amazing places and did all these things for him, but it's not for me. But you know, as I sat on the plane that day, flying back to college, I knew that God was real. I knew that God had opened for me the Red Sea. That sea of people had opened and he had got me through in a way I never would have imagined. In all my wildest dreams, I would never have planned something so perfect as what God planned for me. And you see, young people, we so often get in a worry and a tiz about what we're going to do with our lives. And we think, if I give my life to Jesus and give up all the sport and give up all these other things and the worldly careers and try and become a missionary or serve God or do something that he wants me to do, how will it work? How will we succeed? How will we survive? But you know, God tells us not to take thought for tomorrow. He tells us not to worry about what we'll wear and what we'll eat and all the things that normally worry everybody. He says, look, just follow me. Do as I ask you. Do what I show you one day at a time. One day at a time. One day at a time. Remember, what kind of a race is it? It's a long-term race, isn't it? And if we do that, God promises He promises us that he'll be with us through every trial, through every difficulty. Now, I can't say that every time I've been late for a flight that he's gotten me on it, okay? Don't think I'm saying that. Because miracles that God gives us are always for a reason. God was helping me as I was on my way back to college to understand him a little bit more. And as you learn to know Jesus more and more each day, as you spend time in his word, as you make a commitment to make him a priority in your life, he will do things for you to show he's there. I believe that there are so many times God's trying to do things in our lives. He's trying to speak to us. He's trying to work with us. He's trying to guide us and lead us. But all too often we're busy listening to something else. We're busy with our ears and our eyes and our hearts focusing on things that aren't bringing us to Jesus. And tonight I want to ask you a question. In your daily life, are you listening to Jesus? You get up in the morning and you have your devotional time. You come to worships, you go to deep Bible study, you come to campfires, you go to church, all these things. But are you listening? Are you taking the time to listen so that as you walk, you know you're walking where he wants to go, trusting that no matter what comes up in front of you, he can open the door? See, Abraham went out into a place he'd never seen because he trusted God. You and I can go all kinds of places that we've never seen. You know, when I first went to college, I had a dream. Not a real dream as far as like lying in bed and having a dream, but I had a dream of what I wanted to do with my life. When I first gave my heart to Jesus, I wanted to become a pastor, and I wanted to live in a little country town and have a little house with a little white fence and a nice little car and a little family and a little garden and all those wonderful little things that you've always imagined that you're going to have, with a little church, and we were going to have a little wonderful time. You know? And you know, to be honest, when we got married, Shelley and I, we started to accumulate things for our little country home that we were going to build. And we still cart it around with us, but we've never had it. And it took me a lot of years to start realizing that the Lord had different plans. When I was in college, I never wanted to be an evangelist. It was not my dream. I wanted to just be a teacher and a pastor. They were the things that I liked to do. But when I went back to Australia after college, the Lord closed every door and pushed us into evangelism. And at first I begrudged him. I said, God, you don't know what you're doing. This isn't my calling. But you know, after 15 years, the Lord makes no mistakes. And he taught us what we needed to learn. Sometimes we don't like what the Lord teaches us. But young people, learn to trust him. Even if you can't see tomorrow, if you can't see where he's taking you, if you can't see where you're going to end up, it doesn't matter. Because the pathway, as long as it's the pathway he's put you on, is the best place for you to be at this time and every time. And when your life comes into crisis or trial or difficulty or maybe a point where you don't know where to go next, faith. Trust the God who called you here. The God who called you to be here in this group, to be part of his final generation. See, young people, the world is coming to an end very soon. And God wants an army of youth. And that's what you're here for. When I was your age, we didn't have this. You have an opportunity to do something for God in this world that people my age only dream of. Learn today, while you have time, while you don't have the baggage of age, to live for God, to live by faith. Let us pray. Father in heaven, tonight we thank you. Father, we thank you for your love and goodness to us. We are so undeserving, and you are so giving. Father, we just thank you for Jesus, that he was willing to die on the cross for us. And we thank you that tonight, that you are here through your Holy Spirit, that you are here through your angels to prompt us, guide us, lead us, protect us. Father, each one of these young people is very special to you. And I know that you have a plan for each one of them. And I just pray that you'll help them, Father, to put aside anything else in their mind, anything else that's in their heart. May it all be laid aside, and may they see you and you alone. May they focus on you as their future, as their priority, as their reason and purpose for living. Lord, we just pray that you'll make it clear to them as they start to study, as they start to grow, as they run this race. Lord, show them the way that you have laid out for them, the work that you have in these last days, that, Father, these young people might be mighty workers for you and one day soon stand on the sea of glass and rejoice for eternity, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.